what was going on in my head was a different story. I felt rejected. I felt hurt. I felt betrayed. I felt like a disappointment. And not just for me, also for my small 6-month-old baby, that now her life is getting pulled apart. So it was hard.
That was Elsha Duplessis-Biston, our guest on Focus on the Family today, speaking about the difficulty of a marital breakdown. It's great to have you with us as we talk about a topic today that is a challenging one, but also necessary. It's the topic of thriving in a blended or step family. Your host is Graham Schnell, and I'm Alison Schnell.
Alison, I want to say right from the outset that God designed marriage to last a lifetime. That's His design. However, the reality, even in the church today, is that we have many, many blended families for various reasons. Something like 2 out of every 5 women will be a stepmom at some point in their life.
Mm.
And it does come with a unique set of challenges. And so we want to offer hope and encouragement and some practical help to those who are in a blended family or who have family or friends in that situation.
Yeah, well, I do think that this program will do just that. And so you got to talk to Elsha about her experience entering into a blended family. Let's go now to that conversation.
Here at Focus on the Family, we often speak about the fact that there are no perfect families. And while we raise up God's design for family, we just acknowledge that none of us get it right. And sometimes even just hearing that others also struggle can help you feel like you're okay, that there's grace for you. And that's certainly what we want to offer. But at the same time, we're also here to give advice and encouragement, to share principles that will help you in your marriage, in your parenting. And today, I think, is going to be a good mix of both of those. On today's Focus on the Family, we'll examine the world of step families. And even if that's not your personal experience, there's no doubt that you know a step family. Our guest is Elsha Duplessis-Biston. She's a registered life coach, and she specializes in step family coaching and mentoring. Elsha, welcome to Focus on the Family.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, you didn't get into step family coaching out of a vacuum. This is one out of your own experience. So tell us the story of how you ended up in a blended family of your own.
Sure, Graham. Where do I start? So obviously, I was married. Our daughter was 6 months old when her father decided that there was greener pasture somewhere else. So he decided to jump the fence. I got born again 5 days before he left.
Wow.
So, and that's not the picture that you have got planned for your family, especially with a small girl at home. So I refused to get a divorce for 1 year. It was a hard journey.
Yeah. Take us back to what did it feel like and what was your first thought when you've now just experienced this life-changing salvation and then you get hit with this incredibly difficult challenge that your husband's leaving. What was going on in your heart and your mind then?
So what was going on in my heart, I can tell you, was I've got the Lord, I've got Jesus, and He was the one that I was talking to the whole time. What was going on in my head was a different story. I felt rejected. I felt hurt. I felt betrayed. I felt like a disappointment, and not just for me, also for my small 6-month-old baby that now her life is getting pulled apart. So, yeah, it was hard.
Yeah, absolutely. So you say you fought kind of for a year to try and keep this marriage together.
Yes. Obviously, because I got born again, I knew that the Lord hates divorce. It's what He says in the Word. And I kept on praying. I prayed for this other lady to say, Lord, please bless her with her husband, but not my husband. Yeah. So that journey went on from May 2008 till March 2009, where I'll spare you the full details of the journey, but I remember on 23rd of March 2009, I sat on my bed and I said, Lord, is this your plan for us, for this family, to go and get my daughter's father at another lady's house for the third time? Is this the idea of marriage that you've got planned for us? Hmm. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, will you hold me responsible or accountable or blame me if I do file for divorce? And that Monday, I got such a clear answer when I opened the Bible at Matthew 19, where the Lord says that you're not allowed to get a divorce, but except for adultery. He didn't say you have to,
yeah,
but that's one of the two opportunities
biblical
or biblical grounds that you can get a divorce. Obviously, then started the journey as through the divorce, and then after that, for 10 years, I focused on my relationship with the Lord, with Jesus. I learned so much. I had to heal from the heartache as well. And I spent so much time with my daughter. My life revolved around her and church.
Okay.
Yes.
So 10 years, so you, God took you into a season of 10 years of singleness.
Yes.
And you've, I guess for good reason, in terms of healing and just restoration that needed to happen in your own life. What happened next?
So, Graham, I obviously prayed. After my divorce, I told a lot of my friends, I said, you know what, I get an opportunity to do this over.
Mm.
And this time I want to do it right. So I had a list of only 5 points that I trusted God for my new husband. The Lord gave me a dream in 2010 where he showed me my new husband. I knew my husband had a son, a 16-year-old. And then obviously we tend to color that picture in ourselves. So
yeah,
we think the husband is going to come in the next year. So I only met my husband in 2016. So it was a long journey. In that time, I spent a lot of time focusing on myself, healing, realizing my worth was not dependent on what another human being or what a man thought of me. I spent a lot of time with our church, going out to singles camps, and obviously there was a few men interested. And I remember one of the guys asking me, how did a lady like you end up being alone still after 4 years? At that time, I was single for 4 years. And I remember answering him and saying that in these 4 years, I learned what I'm worth, not what men think I'm worth.
Yeah.
There was a lot of biblical foundations and principles that I applied in my own life, and not just in my own life. In that time, I spent a lot of time teaching my daughter to pray for the right husband one day, to be careful who you share your heart with, because that's what the scripture says, guard your heart above all else. And through that, I believe that I also sowed into my daughter's life at that stage.
Yeah.
I then met my husband in 2016 at a solo barbecue at church on a Saturday afternoon. And it's so funny. As we were driving to that barbecue, my daughter said, Mommy, today you're meeting your husband.
Sure.
Yeah, saw this guy and he had a presence around him. He still does today. He sat with us, chatted a little bit, and that was it. But on the Monday, I got an email from him to say, you know, as it is in the singles life, there's some events that you need to go to, and he invited me to go to a luncheon with him to a work function.
Yeah.
And I went with him, never expecting anything to come from this. Like I said, because I colored my own picture about what my husband will look like and how old he will be.
Yeah.
So my husband is 14 years older than I am. So obviously that was some of the things that I kept on saying, no, this can't be my husband. This can't be my husband. No, no.
Yeah.
And then our friendship developed. And as time went on, I saw that this is somebody that I can get along with. We've got the same biblical foundations and principles. He's also a Christian. And the way he's got two kids, the way he treats his kids, he is so involved in his kids' life. And for me, that meant, wow, I've got a daughter where there's an absent father. And the impact of that in her life is tremendous. And this is somebody that can give a foundation of what a father figure can be and what a normal house should be like.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then we got engaged in February 2019.
Okay.
And married June 2019.
Okay. So that's not too long ago.
No.
And so we want to hear what happened next then in terms of your story and why this is something that's on your heart, this passion to journey with other people who are walking this road of blending families. You got married and you came into this marriage with your picture colored in the way that you expected it to look like. And it didn't quite work out how you thought, hey?
No. So, obviously, one disadvantage of being single for 10 years, I was building my own picture of how the family would end up being look like and how the kids would get along and how my husband would protect me and always choose me. And I had my own unrealistic expectations. Also, coming from a background of where my mom didn't want me as a when she felt pregnant with me. So it's coming from rejection from pre-birth, and then obviously through the divorce as well.
Yeah.
So, and some of the things that I asked is that my husband would choose me and love me unconditionally, and he would always have my back, and he would always choose my side.
Yeah.
So, and obviously I got on with the kids. We had a few words, they were nice, they were decent to me and everything. And I had my expectations that the moment we get married, that we'll be one happy instant family. I'm going to be a mother of three kids now.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone will love each other, everyone will accept each other, and we will be a happy family.
Yeah.
But Graham, I must tell you, shortly after the marriage, I experienced this rude awakening where, coming from my own home, now I had moved into a house with my husband, a house that he chose with his kids. So I felt like the outsider. I didn't have a place in the home where I could say, this is my safe space. Small things, every second weekend when the kids came over, they came in, they would say hello to me, and they would only talk to their dad. And at that stage, I took it so personal. I felt like I might as well just be a fly on the wall.
Did it change when you got married?
Yes.
So there was an instant change from when you were just dating or being, you were together or even engaged, and then when you got married, there was a shift.
There was a few instances, especially with my stepson, before we got married, that sometimes he would treat me in a different way, or he wouldn't be polite or something. I would discuss it with my then at that stage fiance, and he would talk to his son, and then it would go well for a while, and then this would happen again. But the big change came after our marriage. And and funny enough, even at our marriage, our stepson, when he spoke to us and he said, well, I'm so glad, Dad, that you finally found someone. And he said, Elsa, you always come into the home with so much smiles and fun. And thank you for choosing my dad.
Sure.
But then suddenly after the wedding, everything changed.
Mm.
Where in the mornings I would get up, and today the stepson, he would say good morning. Tomorrow morning he wouldn't say a word. I took that very personal. I didn't know what to expect the next day. So it felt like I was walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, there was other things like routine in the home, discipline styles. Obviously, having my own expectations that now I'm married to their father, so I can also discipline them or tell them, take your mug and go put it in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Not taking into account what my husband and his kids have established over 10 years.
Yeah.
They had their own routine in their home. They would, let's say, for example, leave a mug in the room for the day and then take it down to the kitchen in the evening.
Yeah.
But where I told my daughter different, a different way. So those small things caused big, should I say, conflicts in the home.
Yeah.
And then you had the two different discipline styles, the way my husband would talk to his kids when they do something wrong versus the way I would approach my daughter. And then it was also my own daughter acting out very strange towards my husband, the same as my stepson. Some days she would say hello to him, and then the other day she would walk into the room and just ignore him flat out like he isn't ever there and just continue talking to me. My husband wouldn't necessarily raise the topic, but I would. I was the type of person that raised everything. And that caused a lot of conflict. It got to the point where I would fight with my husband because of the way one of the kids would treat me.
Yeah.
And looking back, it really put my husband in such a hard place where he felt like he had to choose between his wife, that he also waited 10 years for, and his children.
Yeah.
And it just got worse and worse. It got to the point where the emotional fighting and the emotional tension in the home was so high that when the kids came in on the weekend, I would say, I'm going to the shops, and I would stay out for 4 hours, just trying to avoid the tension and trying to find my own space where I could feel safe.
Yeah.
Obviously, the implications or the impact of that wasn't good, and it caused a lot of tension. We got to one fight one evening where my own daughter ran away from the home because of the screaming and
a fight between you and your husband.
Yes, fight between the two of us, but the fight was in front of my stepdaughter.
Yeah.
So they were all actually then involved, and then what happened is that my stepson phoned his mother, then she phoned my husband. So, and then I realized, oops, this does not just affect me and my husband now. Now there's kids involved here.
Yeah.
And what happens in our house goes to the other house. I think I tried to do it my own way up until that October, where I kept on fighting with my husband. And by that October, we got to the point when the kids came over the weekend. I told my husband, you know what, spend the time with the kids. I'm going to a guest house.
Yeah.
And I spent the weekend at the guest house. And now for anyone being married for only 2 months, Graham, you think there's something wrong with you? Yeah. Graham, I must tell you, I got to a point where I thought, is it worth living?
Sure.
Because you had this dream and this expectation that it's going to be perfect. And you've made mistakes in the past, but this time it's going to be different.
Yeah.
It was hard. And that weekend, I took my Bible. I spent a lot of time with the Lord. And the Lord gave me a scripture. He says, even like Jesus, when they hit you, do not talk back. Don't fight back. Just keep quiet. Keep quiet. Be the servant. And the Lord told me that your approach up until now has not been working. Why don't you consider changing it? And in that time, I expected my husband to choose me. I expected my husband to always protect me and keep me safe. But the moment the big fight was there, I learned afterwards, the more intense the conflict, the thicker the blood. So my husband ended up choosing his children's side. And I had to learn to take everything then to the Lord. The longings that I had inside of me to have my husband, for example, protect me or always choose my side, it's not a realistic expectation because the bond is not as strong with me as it is with his kids. So that's who he would choose. And that's why the kids would talk to him, because that's where they feel emotionally secure. So I started taking everything to the Lord. If something happened or one of the kids treated my husband and my daughter treated my husband in a specific way, I would immediately address my daughter. I tend to not leave things.
Yeah.
Where my husband would let it simmer for a day or two and then address it. But then I changed my tactics. I started taking everything to the Lord. I said, Lord, if what is happening now is not right, I ask that you bring it to light.
Yeah.
If my heart is wrong, Lord, teach me. And from that moment, Graham, everything changed.
Sure. So that was that weekend that you went away was a turning point. So things were unraveling in your home.
Yeah.
But you got to this point where you almost hit rock bottom, I guess.
Yes,
but
it was.
But God intervened. What were some of the key things that he showed you early on to kind of build your way back into a healthy place in your marriage and in your family?
So I think especially on that weekend, the Lord said that I've got to serve. I'm not there to discipline the kids. I'm there to serve and to keep quiet. And the Lord will fight my battles for me. That weekend, I remember thinking, I'm going back to the home on Monday after the kids has gone back home. And I don't know if we're going to sign a divorce paper.
Sure.
So that was a low point emotionally for me. And the insecurity of, I've left my house now, where to now? If this doesn't work out, where do I go? And this affects not just us, there's kids involved here that's already been through a divorce.
Yeah.
And now we're going to take them through maybe a second one. I had to become aware of the triggers. So a trigger is only an emotional response to a past experience. And I had to become aware of, when I walk into the home and one of the kids would treat me in a funny way, I had to go and say, okay, where is this coming from? Have I experienced this previously? And that's when I realized a few of the triggers still dealt with or was relating to the rejection. So
they would say something that would cause a heightened response from your perspective, but when you evaluated it, you realized that that emotional response was based on
a previous experience.
So you became aware of these triggers and you became aware of this reality that you were responding out of a place of rejection.
Yes.
What changes did you make, or how did you find the healing that you needed to have so that that trigger became less of an issue for you?
Okay. So obviously when my stepson walked into the house, for example, and he would ignore me, I would immediately say, Lord, thank you that you never ignore me.
Yeah.
Thank you that you're always there for me. You wait patiently for whenever I want to chat to you. You never say, I'm too busy now, or come back later, or I'm upset with you. So all the emotional fulfillment that I needed, I went and I found it in the Lord. So I just immediately, when I felt this emotion of I feel rejected. I said, Lord, thank you that you never reject me.
So exchange the lie for the truth.
That's correct.
Speaks.
Exactly. Wow. Yes. So, and that changed, I think, me. And then I obviously, because I felt like I wasn't sure if what I was going through was normal, I started reaching out. So I came across Ron Deal's books.
Yeah.
And I must tell you, Graham, when I started reading the book, The Smart Step Mom and The Smart Step Family and Smart Step Marriage, and I realized that what I was going through was actually so normal. And then it gave me perspective to think, but okay, it's not something in me. It's the, and when I realized that, okay, I had unrealistic expectations, I didn't understand where the children came from and their loss that they experienced.
Yeah.
And obviously by reading into this and searching for answers, I realized that I might have chosen my partner, my husband, and he chose me. But both our kids, although my daughter said, Mommy, I also want a dad. When a second dad came, she then realized that, oops, the loss is more. Because now I don't have my mom's undivided attention anymore. And that's when my stepson treated me in a specific way. I realized that it's the position that I've taken in now. Remember, he was also, it was my husband with his two kids for 10 years. They built their own routines, their own new single parent lifestyle.
Yeah.
Where every year my husband and his kids went to the same holiday destination, they went to the same place. That was their sense of security, their place where they felt safe and at home.
Yeah.
My daughter, myself, again, we like to explore. So every time there's holiday, we tend to go to different places. So now, shortly after our marriage, we're going down to Saint Lamier. It's where my husband has always gone with his kids. And again, you can feel the tension because now the kids are not just there for 3 or 4 days. It's 7 days.
Yeah.
And you can only hold your front for so long.
Yeah.
Okay. And I remember the one morning at breakfast table, my husband was sitting next to me and my stepdaughter across me and my stepson next to his father. And I asked him to pass me the buns, the bread rolls. And for some reason, he threw it.
Yeah.
Across the table. So I tend to correct that to say he didn't throw me with it.
Yeah.
Just threw the buns across the table. And at that moment I realized I could either make a scene of this again now, or I can take this to the Lord.
Yeah.
But in that moment I felt that rejection. I felt like I don't belong here. I'm not part of this. Why am I going through this? And what I did, I took the bread rolls, just bloodily gave it back to him, and I said, please excuse me, from the breakfast table. And I remember, Graham, that morning I got into the shower and I cried. And I said, Lord, if my heart is wrong, if this is wrong, then, and my expectations is wrong, then show me, guide me and teach me. Because I'm the one that's going through this. My stepson might not even know what he's doing or the impact that his response has on me. And I said, but Lord, if this is unrighteousness, I ask you to reveal it. And I remember I was in a shower and I was crying and my husband came in and he said, what's going on now? And I said, no, nothing. He said, why? You got up from the breakfast table, you didn't eat. I said, no, I actually just wanted to get a shower, into the shower. And he said, okay. But he obviously knew something was happening. And it's funny how the enemy tends to make our partners or husband or wife blind for these things because they're so close to the kids.
Yeah.
And got out of the shower and I got dressed, and as I walked out I saw my husband talking to my stepson outside. So I knew, okay, I didn't say anything. Something must have happened. I didn't ask anything. I went outside, I put my hand on my stepson's back and my husband's back. I said, guys, I'm going to go eat a few golf balls, and off I went. And in that time I was crying. I said, Lord, you are fighting my battles for me. Thank you that you will handle this. And I left it. A few minutes later, I phoned my husband to say, come join me for a game of golf. And that was it. We never addressed that conversation. I didn't raise it in that whole week. And I realized, okay, the Lord is definitely busy. He's working, and I can do it my way or I can do it the Lord's way. And obviously, I saw the benefit of doing it the Lord's way.
Yeah. So in that time, you were just, you were recognizing that this was not what you had expected, but that when you looked at some of the resources, Ron Deal, you mentioned, that actually there was a whole lot of normal. But now you had some tools and some approaches. You were recognizing your own challenges of rejection that you were now seeing that you could get healing from in the midst of that. But also you mentioned that aspect of loss.
Yes.
And I'd love to pick that up. We're at the end of this first day, but I really want to just look into that, because I do think that every child of a blended family has suffered loss.
Yes.
Of the dream of the family that they were going to have. And I think that was part of your learning. And so we'd love to just hear more from you in that respect. Would you stick with us? We'll talk about that next time.
Definitely, definitely, Graham.
I love that comment from Elsha at the end there. I can do it my way, or I can do it the Lord's way. How often do we end up doing things our own way and then suffer the consequences of those actions? And in the challenging environment of a blended family, there is such a need to be seeking God's wisdom constantly. I hope you've been encouraged if you're in that position. Or maybe you're not in a step family situation, but your family life is difficult. I want to encourage you to lean into God and find a trusted Christian friend or pastor to walk with you. And also know that we are here for you at Focus on the Family. We have caring Christian counselors available to listen to your concerns and pray with you and perhaps suggest further resources that can help you. That could be over the phone, answering a question over email, or setting up a counseling session online or in person. You can reach us on 031-716-3300. Or online at safamily.co.za when you click on the counseling link. We also have a resource on offer today by Ron Deal, who was mentioned on the program. It's a devotional called Daily Encouragement for the Smart Step Family. Sharing these readings with your spouse and, when appropriate, kids will spark valuable conversations that strengthen family understanding and closeness. Thanks for being with us today. I'm Alison Schnell for Focus on the Family Africa, inviting you to join us next time for the conclusion of our program with Elsha, when we'll once again help you and your family thrive in Christ.